Well, Jules, a winning edition of Jays Talk for us to wrap up the series. A 1-0 victory for the Blue Jays today. The first Blue Jays win at Wrigley Field since June 2005, somehow. I guess, I don't know, the balance schedule only recently came into existence, but still, that is a pretty wild statistic. Joey Loperfido turns in the only run of this entire ballgame with a solo home run off of all people, Shota Imanaga. Windy day in the Windy City. He still gets it done. And Bowden Francis, now with 3 straight excellent starts. And again, after I've done this 2 straight times, now I have you along with me to do this. It's kind of nice. We can lavish some superlatives on Bowden Francis together. But a 3rd straight time, we're going to say, boy, that was the best start of Bowden Francis's career.
And good for him, right? I think that the goal here is to keep one-upping himself all the way until the end of the season. When you look at what he did today, show nothing short of remarkable. You can also probably pinpoint a couple of things to work on. And definitely not taking away the merit from Bowden Francis here. That was incredible. Chris LaRue said so in the broadcast, but 81% of his pitches were either fastballs or splitters. So you can really see that this new pitch is working well for him, and he's really found something special to add to his repertoire with the splitter. Something that he kind of, you know, tinkered with in the offseason or in the preseason, rather. We saw it in spring training. There were articles about it. You know, so many of these Blue Jays came in with new pitches, but, you know, developing a new pitch and actually getting it to work for you at the major league level are 2 very different endeavors. And what we are seeing from Francis here is that not only has he added something to his repertoire, he has refined it enough that even the most veteran of lineups, as was the case with the Cubs today, is having trouble with it, at least for now. So certainly encouraging to see, you know, a team that has Kevin Gausman to see another starting pitcher develop that level of excellency with the splitter. It's got to feel good. It's got to be a good development for the pitching staff as a whole. And we saw it at play here again, show just Cubs hitters had no answer for it.
Who would have thought that, with Gausman pitching tomorrow, who would have thought that, you know, through this part of the season, maybe the more reliable splitter of the two would be Bowden Francis?
Right.
But it has been excellent. That's Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. Like we said, you're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network, also on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's text line, it is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. Before we go to the text line, I don't want to wrap up on Bowden Francis because we're going to talk about Bowden Francis a lot
for
today.
Sure.
But 7 innings, 3 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, certainly a big thing. 7 strikeouts, 95 pitches, 71 of which were strikes. To your point, and the point that Chris LaRue was making, he threw the 4-seam fastball 47% of the time. 45 pitches, he threw 32 splitters, and then he threw 14 sliders, 2 curves, and 2 sinkers. So he really did rely very heavily on those 2 pitches. But I mean, hey, it doesn't matter when you're getting the results. And now had 3 great outings in a row, like I mentioned off the top, 22 strikeouts and just 1 walk, Julia, in those 3 games. Since coming back into the starting rotation, and I'm not counting that one game where he went out there for 1 out, because I remember there was like a rain out in there, and then they kind of shifted
kind
one of his starts.
One.
So yeah, so I'm not going to count that result, even though there was a run unearned counted in there. But since coming back into the starting rotation and making starts for this ball club, 24 2/3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs. He has an ERA of 2.19 over those 24 2/3 of an inning. So, I mean, he has been absolutely on fire. You mentioned this to me in the pregame, but we were talking earlier about Bowden Francis and his start last week and how a lot of what his success stems from is the command of that 4-seam fastball,
absolutely,
right? And it allows him to use all of those other pitches that much more effectively. Like batters, and Chris mentioned this during the game, have to essentially keep the sinker, yes, but mostly the splitter, because like we said, he threw it a lot today, in the back of their mind, and it just really helped him make all of his pitches that much more effective and keep him hyper efficient. It looks like the Cubs just really had, and there was some card contact. I'm sure the wind played a little bit of a factor too, but boy, I mean, they just did not seem to get a lot of very good swings on really any of his pitches today.
Yeah, not until, let's say, the 5th inning or the 6th inning or whenever it was that there was that double at 100 miles per hour off the bat that was hit off of Bowden Francis. And sure, obviously that is going to happen. You are facing good lineups here. But the fact that he made it that far without allowing anything other than some awkward contact, even the first, you know, hit that fell, he was perfect through three. Yeah. And then the first hit that fell was kind of like an awkward single that just landed in a weird spot. And we saw so much of the wind playing a factor into this game.
Yeah.
You know, balls that start completely inside the field and all of a sudden they're at foul territory because the wind has carried it so much. So obviously there's a ton of external factors, but the fact of the matter is that really good pitchers tend to limit those external factors and really focus in on what they can control. That is what we saw from Francis today, pitching with confidence first and foremost. His velocity was a little bit down from what it's been, you know, on average this season. But this looks like a guy that has figured out that he doesn't necessarily needs to throw 95, 96 to have success because of how well his other pitches are playing off of his four-seamer, especially the splitter. Earlier on in the season, obviously, he made the starting rotation out of camp.
Right.
Did not find a ton of success. And it kind of reminds you that success in this league, especially for starting pitchers, for young guys coming up, is anything but linear, right, Cho? And he's been through enough this season to have learned that for himself if he didn't have a pretty good idea of it already. And it's made him a better pitcher. It's allowed him to figure it out. Got sent down a couple of times and was moved to the bullpen. Yeah. Was he the long man? You kind of had these question marks around Bowden Francis and what he represented. You always knew that he was a valuable piece for this club, whether that be out of the pen or in the starting rotation or, say, as a sixth starter in waiting down at AAA Buffalo. This is a guy that was very much of value to the Blue Jays. Hard to anticipate something like this, like what we're seeing right now. And it's credit to him to kind of find what it is that works for him, refine that new pitch. And honestly, it's right up there right now. And we're kind of getting to the point now, Sho, where it's hard to say that this is a fluke. It doesn't look like a fluke. It looks like this is who he is.
You know, he ran into some bad luck, really, in the only busy inning of his outing today. Like you mentioned it, the wind, I'm sure, played a factor here, but some really softly hit balls. And then an error to load the bases. I think it was the bottom of the fourth inning. He gets into a little bit of trouble, partially, I would say, really mostly, not of his own doing. But Dansby Swanson comes up to the plate, gets struck out, right? Later on, he strikes out the birthday boy, Seiya Suzuki, to end the sixth inning. And then he finishes off the sixth, and I thought to myself, and we were talking about it here at Baseball Control, like, are you going to continue to let Francis see the Cubs order a third time and likely let him set a new career high in pitches thrown? And the answer clearly ends up being yes. Because you and I think we're like, okay, the next guy's going to be Cody Bellinger up to bat. Are they going to let him do it? I mean, they've been pretty judicious with when they give guys the yank, and, you know, are they going to let him keep going? But hey, they clearly, in a one-run game, which stayed the same score basically for the entire ball game, they let him go back out there, and he got through it, right? He K'd Swanson again. Swanson clearly didn't like it, but it was obviously a strike. I don't know if he just wasn't looking at the ball or he just misjudged it or what. Swanson has not had a great year, by the way, but I mean, that was the entire ball was in the strike zone. It's not like it grazed the edge of the strike zone. It was clearly a strike. They called it a strike, thankfully. He frustrates Pete Crow Armstrong on the next batter, who flies out, slams his bat into the ground, and it was great stuff from Francis. And let me ask you this, Julia, and I want to know what the listeners think of this as well before we go to the phones. What does Bowden Francis have to do in order to, and I don't know if maybe your mind's already made up, but to change your mind, listeners, Julia, whatever you think, to change your mind about what his stature is on the team for next year? So he's obviously going to be on the team for next year, but I think when we talk about makeup of 2025 and the starting rotation, you know, I think a lot of people would say Bowden Francis, at least maybe before these starts, probably was going to be in the bullpen. He wasn't going to be the team's fifth starter necessarily because, you know, after, I think you can probably safely say Yariel Rodriguez is going to be like the team's fourth starter next year.
Right.
So if that's the case and you go Gausman, Bassett, Berríos, why Rod? I mean, do you need to go out and buy a fifth starter? So I'm curious what everyone thinks, what it would take if you're, maybe you're already there, but what it would take for Bowden Francis to be the team's fifth starter next year. I don't think I'm quite there yet, even though I've been very impressed with what I've seen. I just want to see a little bit more, but I'm curious what you think and what the listeners think.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't necessarily have an answer for you right now. I think that right now, what Francis needs to focus on is finishing this season strong. That is the one thing that he can control, right? To my point earlier. So right now he is putting on one of probably the best auditions you will see for that fifth starter spot. And this is very much still at play here, and it will probably carry into the offseason and the preseason as well. But, you know, when I mentioned earlier, this doesn't look like a fluke. It looks like we're getting enough data now to believe that this is the new Bowden Francis. Right. And maybe he has figured something out that is very, very important. Kevin Gausman is kind of a similar story, right, Cho? He bounced around. He was DFA'd. He didn't find immediate success in the big leagues. Got moved to the bullpen at one point. And then he goes to the Giants. He really, you know, finds excellence with that splitter, becomes basically a two-pitch guy, and now he is Kevin Gausman. So it's possible that what we're seeing out of Bowden Francis is a similar story here. It's a guy that has figured out how well his four-seamer and his splitter go together. He's throwing it extremely well. He is throwing it for strikes as well as for the swing and miss, which is equally important. And it's something that, frankly, we haven't seen Gausman be able to do a whole bunch of, especially this year. And it's all playing very well together. It's when there is contact, it's awkward contact. And then there's just a ton of swing and miss. So what can he do to sort of solidify his position? Just keep pitching the way that he has and try not to think too far ahead, I guess. And again, show to our talk pregame, the Blue Jays have a lot of decisions to make this offseason. They have a lot of roles to fill with this ball club if they want to be competitive next year. And that means that the more internal options they have for certain roles here, the more they can spend elsewhere. And so if they look at Francis and Francis can maintain this level of success from now until the end of the season, probably makes their lives a little bit easier when it comes to the rotation, and they can focus their resources somewhere else and just roll with this, see how it goes. There's a Jake Bloss also waiting at AAA that could potentially fill in a need for the Blue Jays. Yariel Rodriguez has spent time in the bullpen. That's where he found his success in Japan. If you have to, for whatever reason, you can entertain moving him to the pen as well. So Blue Jays have options, and that is a good thing considering how much work they have in front of them or ahead of them this offseason and into the preseason. Francis is just one more piece in that puzzle.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Go to the text line as well, 590-590, name and location. But first, let's go to the phones. Eddie in Fort Erie joining us on Jays Talk. Eddie, what's up? What did you think of the start from Bowden Francis today?
Well, first of all, Sho and Jules, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about that star, as a matter of fact, because you know what? I actually had my eyes on this series knowing that both Rodriguez and Francis were going to be pitching in that series. And I thought to myself, who was going to, you know, do well against this tough Cubs lineup? Because, you know, and especially pitching in Wrigley Field. I mean, it's not an easy place to hit. I just want to say for the Blue Jays batters, I mean, they could have easily hit a lot of home runs in this series, like everywhere, like yesterday and that sort of thing. But that's how it is sometimes. And now about Francis's start, I was hearing you guys talk about where he stands for next season. I think right now he has the edge to start next season as one of the five guys. And you know why? Because he's found that pitch, you know, that Kevin Gausman gave to him, that splitter that he's been teaching him. And that's the thing between him and Rodriguez. Francis wants to learn and get better and better. And with those starts that he's had against not only the Angels, I know they're a bad team, in the Cubs, but he pitched really well against the Orioles too in Toronto. I mean, that tough offense. I mean, that's also an eye opener as well. And as far as that goes for the fifth spot, I mean, I don't know where they go. If they will go, you know, internally, as you guys were saying, or go outside the organization to sign somebody on a one-year deal as a bridge guy before Bloss comes up for his outing or his career to start in the big leagues or something like that. But I really feel like for next season, Francis has the edge as far as a definite spot in the rotation goes next year than Rodriguez does. No question.
Sure, Eddie, appreciate the comment. Thanks for joining us on Jays Talk. I won't go so far as to say he has a definite spot, only because I don't think there are a lot of definite things about the Toronto Blue Jays next year other than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and, like, I don't know, George Springer, for example. Actually, there was a report from Bob Nightingale about Bo Bichette, which I think also kind of, you know, when you talk about, like, what are definite things, I wanted to say Bo too, but I don't think it is definite when it comes
far.
To Bo. So we'll get to that certainly in a little bit. But, I think for Bowden Francis, I just have to see him do it a couple more times. Yeah. And I'm not even saying he doesn't have to go seven innings deep in a game every single time out from now until the end of September. That's not what I'm saying. I just want to see him continue to do what he's doing, which is largely what you said as well. Just continue to have success, find success with that four seam fastball, continue to locate it really well. If he wants to mix more pitches in a little bit, I think we saw a little bit more of the sinker the last time out than we did today. We only saw two sinkers, for example, because we had not seen very many sinkers like in an actual game. They talked about it a little bit, but never like in an actual game as much as we did against the Angels. And again, like Eddie said, the Angels, I don't know, they're not a very good team, unfortunately, in terms, especially offensively. So you want to see these kinds of results against a better team in the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they're kind of like in a unique situation because so many teams in the NL are within striking distance of the third wild card.
Yeah.
And even after a loss today, the Cubs are three games under 500, but they still have over 60 wins and they're still not that far out of first place in their own division. So it's kind of like a wonky year just for parity. I mean, I suppose it's a good thing, I guess, if you lean that way. But my only point is simply that the Cubs are a good team with some good batters, and Bowden Francis managed to take care of basically all of them for a good seven innings. So I just want to see him be more consistent or maintain that consistency, because he hasn't been consistent, over the next however many starts he ends up making between now and the end of September, like five or six more starts or whatever it ends up being. Because, again, like I said this to you before, Jules, but if you get from your fifth starter, quote unquote, your fifth starter, if you are getting 5 to 6 innings of 2 to 3 runs, I think you take it. And even if that's what you get from Bowden Francis between now and the end of the season, he probably still has a good shot of being a starting member of the starting rotation next year. But it also, kind of like to your point about them having to make a lot, them being the Blue Jays, having to make a lot of decisions this offseason, they're for sure going to at least explore the internal options as much as possible so they can spend more money on other spots, right?
Absolutely.
So if they can find a Bowden Francis, then they don't have to go out and buy a fourth or fifth starter in the offseason, so they can spend more money on a third baseman or on a left fielder or on a DH, for example, right? Like, that helps, obviously, in other aspects. But to get the answer from Bowden Francis, I think I just need to see him do it, like, a handful more times.
And listen, Sho, if anything, after that sixth inning or whatever, or even after the double, I believe it was in the seventh, when you kind of look and you say, okay, he's already blasted through his season high in pitches here, the Blue Jays kept him in the game. And that means not simply that this team has the trust that Francis can get out of it, but that this team also wants to see how he does in those situations. It's clear that he's getting a little bit more of a cushion here to work out things, because we've seen the Blue Jays be extremely quick to pull the trigger on pitching changes and whatnot, especially in a tight game like this. But that didn't happen here. It surprised the both of us for a reason, and it kind of indicates that the Blue Jays want to see what Francis has. And so when I keep hitting this specific thing here, it's everything is pointed to 2025, and they have to take a look at how Francis gets out of jams and tough situations, and when, third time through the order, how is he doing with that? This is valuable data for a team that is going to start in a lot of areas pretty much from scratch for next year. So far, he's giving the Blue Jays some pretty good evidence that he can hold his own as the fourth or the fifth starter for this club.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mississauga. Joe in Mississauga joining us here on Blue Jays Talk. Joe, what's up? What's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Cheryl and Jules. I'm really enjoying the compete of the Jays right now. And, last place last season, but they're competing, and it's great to see. Great to see Springer upset over getting hit by a pitch and getting himself thrown out of a out of the game. I think, you know, that's awesome. They're competing. It makes for entertaining baseball. As far as Francis, you can't have enough starting pitchers. We know that, right? You got to have as many. And the fact that he's done this three games, that's in the major leagues, gone seven innings against the Cubs. That's a pretty good deal. And it's, I don't think it's a one-off. I think he's found it. You guys were talking about Gausman and when he found it. Well, when you find it, you're here. And like I say, you can't have enough starting pitching. But it's great to see the compete. Even that Carrera, you know, gets a strike out there in the eighth, pumps his fist. That's a last place team, but they're playing for the win, and that's great. So I love that part of the Jays right now.
Hey, Joe, I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us here on Blue Jays Talk. Yeah, I guess it was Isak Paredes that Cabrera saw in the pinch hit situation. I think he was supposed to see Michael Bush, and they pinch hit him for Paredes, who had been scratched to start the game, and he K's Paredes to end the inning and in the bottom of the eighth. And I thought, man, yeah, Cabrera's fired up.
Yeah.
Like, we only really saw, the bullpen was pretty well rested, actually, too. We only really saw three bullpen relievers, thanks to the great outing from Francis. We saw Ryan Burr, who got two quick outs, then got the hook when he walked a guy. Cabrera comes in, K's Paredes, and then Chad Green gets the save and close things down as he so often has. And I mean, I think like you can also tie, I mean, certainly they pitched individually, they pitched pretty well, but I think you can also tie some of that back to Bad Francis to a certain extent, because ultimately, and you know what, honestly, you can even give some credit to Chris Bassett yesterday as well, because he probably could have come out of that game after the first, or I guess second inning, when the game went into the first of two rain delays. And I mean, I said this yesterday to Danielle, but you know, when you talk about what the bullpen is now, you kind of, and I mean, we've talked about this a lot this season, but you kind of need the starters to walk this tightrope all season. And you needed this when you had the great guys in the bullpen. Now you need it even more now that Jimmy Garcia is not a Blue Jay, and now that Jordan Romano might not pitch again this season, and now that Eric Swanson's like one of the next most trusted guys, and even he's only been back in the majors for like a relatively short period of time. So I think like the bullpen is severely depleted, as we know. We don't need to like relitigate that every single time out, but that Baden Francis was able to save it by going seven innings. Like, you and I were having the conversation mid-game, if they do pull him in the sixth inning, like, who's the most obvious candidate to come out to bridge the game to Cabrera and Green? Because I've always said, after Jimmy Garcia was traded, I've said that the circle of trust, you've heard me use the term before, that Cabrera and Green are the only two members of the circle of trust right now. And I think for the Blue Jays, I think they, out of necessity, if you're asking, like, John Schneider, who's in the circle of trust, I bet he's probably putting Swanson, Burr and Pop in there as well, even though I personally wouldn't necessarily, because in a normal quote unquote bullpen, I don't think they probably are. Maybe Eric Swanson if he finds it again, but I think the jury's kind of still out on Swanee.
Much.
So if that's the case, then boy, I mean, they pitched well. No, don't get me wrong, but that they did not have to make a tough decision, I think, is just another credit to Francis's outing.
100%, and I also kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit because of just the nature of relievers in the bullpen, but Cabrera has been nothing short of remarkable of late.
Yeah.
And he is a guy that you can trust. They're not really even paying that much attention to lefty-righty splits at this point. You just go with Yenesis Cabrera and you trust that he is going to get the outs. And I truly believe that, you know, part of it, this is the guy that was DFA'd by the Cardinals. That's how he landed on the Blue Jays, you know, traded after being DFA'd and all of that. And Tim Mays is not around anymore. He's with the Yankees now in Williamsport, and that's great. And now you have this one lefty who's Cabrera, and then he becomes your high leverage guy, and he's delivering. And that fire that you see is just who he is. He's going to do that pretty much every time he gets out of an inning, and all of it has played very, very well for the Blue Jays. Something that probably has salvaged this bullpen a few times this season, to be sure. And so to see Francis do what he did for seven innings, and then to know that you have a rested Cabrera that you can go to in those setup innings, really great combo for John Schneider, who didn't need much other than that today.
It's true. I mean, you talk about the cascading effect too over these next couple of weeks. I mean, the next day off, there was a day off on I guess it was this past week on Thursday. There isn't another day off until Labor Day, essentially. That's on the 2nd of September. It is August 18th today. They actually play, I think, more games than there are days because of that resumption of the rained out game in Boston at Fenway Park. Also, I'm looking forward to that mainly because I'm curious to see if Danny Jansen does, in fact, become the first person to play for two different teams in the same game, which is truly bizarre. But I really hope that becomes like a real weird oddity of baseball. And that's one of my favorite things about the sport, but generally speaking, like just from a bullpen perspective, like these guys are going to be used a lot. Like whether you like it or not, you're going to see a lot of Ryan Burr. You're going to see a lot of Zach Pop. You're going to see a lot of Tommy Nance. You're going to see a lot of other guys as well. In probably less than ideal circumstances, given that not every starter is going to have a great game for the next like two and a half weeks, essentially. So if that's the case, then it's nice that while you can get the innings in from the starters, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Brad in Nipigon. Brad, what's up?
Hey, always happy to call into the Julia show.
Yeah.
Just a couple things I was hoping to discuss. You know how the Mariners front office suggests their goal is to win 54% of their games over a 10-year span? Well, like, this is like 14 and a half games a month. And it does bother me that Jays fans seem to think that's impossible with the current and future hypothetical roster. And the second point is Will Wagner not the most true Biggio parallel? A hot start to begin and that left-handed bat-to-ball eye and infield versatility and a legacy to add to that show.
For sure. Hey, Brad, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's true. It's funny. I was kind of wondering if Brad was going to mention the famous dad for Will Wagner, and not only a famous dad, that was a franchise legend for the Houston Astros.
For the Astros, yes, right.
Like very specifically for the Astros. By the way, if people haven't heard the Billy Wagner interview with Enniston Barker from this past week, I highly recommend it. The guy could not have been happier for his son. Like this is a guy who's probably going to get into the Hall of Fame this year because he was just below that eligibility cutoff, and this is his last year on the ballot. He's probably getting into the Hall of Fame, and he probably deserves it.
You would hope so. Yeah. I truly believe he deserves it. Yeah.
I think he's getting in. So, but my point is, it was a great interview. You should go listen to it. But I do agree. Will Wagner is having a really interesting season. He didn't factor in heavily today, mainly because no bats beyond Joey Loperfido really factored in super heavily in a 1-0 game in which Loperfido hit a solo home run. But Will Wagner, just in a general sense, Jules, your thoughts on Wagner in what you've seen from him? Because we haven't really talked a ton about him since he got called up. This is the first Jays talk we've done in that span. But I mean, Will Wagner, I think I said this before. I mean, there's still a lot to find out about Will Wagner between now and the end of the season. And obviously you need to see him put in the work in the offseason. I think he's a bit of an older prospect as well. So I'm curious to see what he becomes. But he probably is closer to being a finished product than he is not, if that makes sense, because of his age. So I've been quietly impressed by Will Wagner, but it is funny because, I mean, we talk a lot about David Schneider struggling and those struggles continue today. And I mean, Schneider had an even hotter start than Will Wagner when he first got called up. And we've seen the league adjust to him. So I'm curious to see what it will look like when Will Wagner is adjusted to and how he bounces back from like an inevitable slump. Every player in baseball, even Aaron Judge, goes through slumps. So I'm curious to see what it looks like when he does eventually slump and how he bounces back.
Yeah, I've been pretty impressed. It's true show that this is a guy that comes in a little bit more quote unquote ready than other prospects that we've seen. The baseball IQ is something that keeps getting touted and for good reason. It's not just that he's making good contact, it's that he's making good swing decisions. And if he can keep that up, if he can keep seeing the ball as well as he is, certainly, but if he can keep making good decisions, he should be in a pretty good place. I think it's kind of unfair to, lean into comparisons too much, although it's obviously inevitable for us to find similarities between him and a guy like Kevin Biggio. There are similarities, but completely different players and, completely different people when you think about it. But you kind of see a lot of what has been brought up over and over again during this time in the minors, which is just has a mind for baseball. And that's kind of what we saw a little bit of already in this very, very small sample size, albeit a successful sample size for Wagner. I'm excited. I believe that the Blue Jays would do well to just leave him here and not send him back down from now until the end of the season. and get as many reps and as many looks as possible against both righties and lefties. The reason why you didn't see him start today's game is because Shota Imanaga was on the mound, and that's a lefty.
Makes
and
sense.
It does make sense. As you know, the weeks progress here, we're probably going to see him face a little bit more lefties than we have so far. And that will also give us a pretty good indication of what it is that the Blue Jays are working with, because his splits are not bad by any means, but you do see pretty stark difference on his splits with against righties and lefties on the mound. So kind of early. I think if there's one thing that we have learned, show is to temper our expectations with prospects a little bit. But this is a guy that's coming in a little bit more ready, if you will, than the regular highly touted prospect, if that makes sense.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Those are the numbers for you to call. If you want to reach us, drop us a line here on Jays Talk, 590-590, name and location. That's the people's text line. Standard data and messaging rates do apply. You can certainly shoot us a message that way as well. We're going to step aside, take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phones, and then we'll go back to the text line as well. We'll also hear a little bit from the skipper and from the man of the hour, Bowden Francis himself, wrapping up his media availability just a few minutes ago. So still lots to come on the other side. Again, you're listening to Blue Jays Talk. Show and Jules with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
That's kind of, you know, that was a big test. That's kind of him and his demeanor. He's very, very, very slow, you know, in situations like that. Had Pete go out just to kind of calm him down a little bit if we needed to, but we didn't really need to. Swing and bunt, soft hit and an error, and then you get a big strikeout. So I think that's kind of him growing up a little bit and being, you know, being able to pitch to those spots.
That is John Schneider discussing the change in Bowden Francis, perhaps even just within this season. Because as you said, Julia, the Bowden Francis we saw maybe like in April and May is not the Bowden Francis we're necessarily seeing now. But that's the skipper discussing not only Bowden Francis, but of course a 1-0 Blue Jays win to salvage the series in Chicago. Blue Jays road trip is now over. They head back to Toronto to take on the Reds for the first of three tomorrow. I'm Sho Ali. That's Julia Kreutz. You're listening to Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Here until the top of the next hour, you can still shoot us a message. 590-590, name and location. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We haven't necessarily gone to the text line yet, Jules, shall we?
We shall, absolutely.
Let's see what's on the text line. I think, Dale in Nova Scotia. Dale says, oh, you know, we haven't talked about Joey Loperfido.
Yeah.
Dale has a text about Loperfido, and I kind of have to talk about him. The man scored the only run in a 1-0 ball game. Dale says, he had a text about Bowden. He says, Bowden Francis looks like the hidden gem of the franchise right now. He also says, I think it'd be wise to hold on to Loperfido for a couple of seasons. Even if it's in the minors, potential is well worth it, and if it all comes together, he could be a part of the future core. I do think, like, kind of similarly to Will Wagner, the conversation we had right before the break, I do think Loperfido has to show like a little bit more. Like he hit a home run today. Yes, it was great. First home run as a Toronto Blue Jay. That was great to see. But ultimately, yeah, you want to see a little bit more because, yeah, you know, you want to see like an 0-for-24 stretch that needs an RBI single to be broken, get out of that streak. So I think if you see enough between now, again, the year's all about auditioning for 2025. If you see enough between now and the end of the season, I think there's a good chance he at least starts the year with the Blue Jays, mm-hmm, and not with the Bisons. I think that's kind of like the big demarcation point for a lot of these young guys right now.
That's a good point, and I believe so as well. You will need to see a little bit more. Obviously, getting traded in season, coming in with the major league club, it just adds a different dynamic. Not that he was hitting extremely well with the Astros either earlier this season when he made his debut, but you look at what Loperfido has kind of gone through this season and just joining a new team, it does add at least a layer to his struggles, I would imagine. And when you talk to John Schneider, Loperfido was hitting a little bit higher up in the lineup to start his Blue Jays tenure, and then he gets dropped down. And this is just the Blue Jays trying to find a way to get him back on track. He is working on his swing. He is making some adjustments here and there and trying to optimize what he has. You know, it's a pretty unique batting stance. It's a pretty unique swing. And how can the Blue Jays optimize that and keep the bat productive at the major league level? These are questions that we now, even start coming up, really, and you're not going to answer them until at least early 2025. But I totally agree, Show, that this is a guy that should get some leeway and should get the time and the space to figure things out way beyond 2024. Because if it does come together, then this is going to be a pretty exciting Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, he's 25, so he's not like the youngest prospect out there, but I think because he's so new to the organization, I'm not even sure they 100% know what they have in him. I mean, James Click was certainly, like, the fingerprints of James Click were certainly on this whole deal because, you know, he dealing with his former ball club. So
yeah, no,
I'm certain that was a part of it in being why Lo Perfetto was one of these three guys that Click and Atkins went out to acquire. But at the same time, I think like the entire organization does need a little bit more time with him to completely judge him. 590-590, name and location. I wanted to read a text from Russ in Kingston. Actually, I want to read a couple of texts from Russ because he just texted again. But Russ saying, initially, Bowden being a solid starter would be huge for the Jays next year. This is kind of what we were talking about, Jules. If they really want to compete, not having to add an extra starting pitcher this offseason lets them spend instead of desperately needed offense. And it's true, right? Because again, if you figure it'll cost you top dollar for a team that's going to be spending a lot of money, you hope, in free agency, then I think you'd rather them sort it out at third base, with all due respect to Ernie Clement. But I mean, if they have to spend top dollar on Alex Bregman, I think you'd rather that option than Ernie Clement, even if Ernie Clement's a bench player. And I think he is. Like, either way, he's on the team next year, but he might not be the starter. So there's third base to consider. There's left field to consider. There's the DH spot, which might be the easiest role to fill because the guy doesn't play in the field. But still, I mean, those are the three spots you want to consider. If you don't have to spend a ton of money for your fourth or fifth starter, maybe you can backfill the backup catcher spot from someone within the organization. I don't know if it's Brian Servin, but it might be someone else. Maybe it's a Peyton Henry or someone. Like, I don't know, right? But my point is, like, if you can find other spots to take advantage of, I think Russ's point is a good one. Russ also texted in to say, do you think there's any truth to that Bo Bichette report today? Do you think he's a Jay next April? So for those who haven't heard this, okay, I just want to read this out to you. This came out this morning. I think I've said this to you before. I like reading the columns from a variety of insiders across Major League Baseball, whether they're Sportsnet or not. And USA Today's Bob Nightingale, who is a frequent guest on this radio station and across the network. He comes on with Blair a lot. He goes on with Raj a lot, for example. So Bob Nightingale is no stranger to these airwaves, but he writes a weekly column and comes out every Sunday on USA Today's website. And on today's column, the way it goes, as far as I can tell, is it has like a lead story. Then it kind of has a bunch of little nuggets that he gets from around the league. And today's lead story was about Ethan Holliday, who might go number one in the draft, and like how his brother is Jackson Holliday and his father and so on. But it was actually a great read. I highly recommend it.
Sounds fun. Yeah.
I do love hearing about the youngsters when they get drafted, right?
What's not fun is what came after that.
Exactly. And so it was actually the very first bullet point in the entire article. Like, there was things about Garrett Crochet and like Luis Robert Jr. and so on. It's the very first bullet point in the USA Today article was this. I'm going to read it to you what it says verbatim, okay? This is from Bob Nightingale. The Toronto Blue Jays are expected to entertain trade offers this winter for shortstop Bo Bichette, who has no plans to stay in Toronto once he is a free agent after the 2025 season. First baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is also a free agent after the 2025 season, but the Blue Jays want to try signing him before he hits free agency. Maybe that latter part doesn't sound like super hot, a hot take or new news. I think we kind of knew that there was going to be some sort of effort to re-sign Vladdy, and I mean, if there wasn't, good Lord, I can only imagine what the reaction would be.
Yeah.
But that first bit, that the Blue Jays are essentially expected to trade Bo in the offseason. And again, I think everything Bo has said publicly would run contrary to this. But again, it's kind of how much you take what athletes say to the media at face value. Like, even as someone who talks to the media, for both of us, like, I don't know, how much do you take? You know what I mean? Like, especially when they're talking like on shows or when they're talking in scrums versus like what they're saying to people like behind closed doors in the clubhouse and so on. They're two different things.
There's
right?
only so much honesty that you can employ.
So what did you make of this report from Nightingale?
Yeah, it's the no plans part that's hurtful, honestly, Show, if we're being candid here. No plans to stay, that's a very hard and fast sort of, a sentence. It's tough to really place that much value in it or to just believe it straight up, because no plans, that's tough. You have to believe that Bo, having been around for as long as he has, and having a real intention of winning and competing and playing to the best of his ability, that he would, at the very least, entertain offers from the Blue Jays. Yeah. So you kind of understand where he's coming from. I don't know what he has heard when it comes to Bo Bichette, but it's tough to just take it as it is and say, okay, Bo is gone in the offseason, or he's gone 2 years from now,
right,
or whatever it may be. Nothing is that set in stone until it actually happens. And the Blue Jays have the capital and the space to make a good offer here. It's about the level of interest on either part and on both parts to come together and make a deal. But I would be a little hesitant to categorize things, I don't know, as intensely as that, if that makes sense. How about you?
Yeah, you mean whether or not I believe it?
Yeah, how do you take, you know, said report?
You know, I tend to try, if possible, to take things at face value. And I think at face value, when you look at the relationship between Bo and the Blue Jays, and again, I say this with no inside information, it has never seemed anything more than like cordial. Does that make sense? Like it almost seems
a
little frosty at times when things are not going well, like they have not gone both for the team, but also for Bo personally this season. And I think that the one thing about trading Bo in the offseason that I would find tough to stomach, if it happens before the season starts next year, is you're effectively trading him at his like the floor of his value. You're trading him at the bottom level of his value. Now you got to think that some team, probably multiple teams, will look at Bo and say, okay, well, you know what? It's a lost season. He had like four different injuries this year. Maybe he's not going to be a shortstop long-term. Like, we can fix him. Like, we can do whatever it takes. We'll give him the long-term contract. He'll have a fresh start somewhere else. Like, I just think some teams, probably multiple teams, will have those thoughts when they discuss acquiring someone like Bo Bichette based on his pedigree, because prior to this year, and I know he had a pretty bad year a couple of years ago until the month of August, and at which point he became like the best hitter on planet Earth, essentially, for the last like 2.5 months of the season. But I mean, for the most part, he has still been a pretty great hitter and a guy who gets on base a lot, hits for power. Like, he just, it's everything you want, essentially. So I would struggle to think that trading him now is going to get you the apex of value for Bo,
yeah,
which is kind of why I wonder, he might not be a Blue Jay long term. He might not be. He might just leave in free agency at the end of next year. He might get traded prior to the deadline. But I can't help but think, Jules, that if you're talking about like recapturing some of the value that Bo has as one of like the best shortstops in Major League Baseball, then he kind of has to play, right? Like,
yes,
he kind of has to play and like play well. You can't just sit him out for the rest of the season and then just trade him before
yes,
he sets foot on a major league field again prior to spring of 2025.
That in itself is a pretty interesting decision for the Blue Jays, because if you meet with a player and you get pretty convinced that there is no way to make a deal, then do you trade him in the offseason, or do you wait until he gets hot and then you trade yeah, him at the deadline?
And then if he gets hot, I'm sure we're going to have conversations about, well, he should just stay a Blue Jay,
yeah,
like extend him and give him the Vladdy contract,
yeah,
or
take
or
the
whatever
comp pick,
yeah,
or whatever, yeah, it may be, and just move on with it. I actually don't know if he would be eligible for that, but it's going to be the discussion around Bo has definitely changed.
It's true.
Based on, you know, from recent off seasons, because we have been talking about Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signing extensions forever now, it seems like. Every year we're having these conversations, but now all of a sudden we're still talking about Vladdy signing an extension. But I don't know if I'm ready to completely move on from the Bo conversation and just replace it with when or if will the Blue Jays trade him. I don't think that's fair to either part here. So it's a wait and see for now, because, you know, just so much has gone wrong for Bo, unfortunately, this season. But it will be a pretty fascinating decision, and one that's going to involve both sides coming together and trying to figure it out.
I see Charlie and Moonstone on the text line says, wondering if there is a path for the Jays to keep both Vladdy and Bo. I think these are good players and hard to replace. Mark from Thorold saying, hey, Show and Jewel, is really hoping Bo comes back for 1 month and absolutely rakes. Trade him in the offseason. Let him go. He'll never be an elite shortstop, which you need for a playoff contending team. I assume he means like defensively as well.
Right.
I think there is I think we have seen him be elite offensively.
Definitely.
I think at his best defensively, Bo has been like fine defensively. Mm. Like, he's been an all right to good player defensively, but I don't think he is ever, and he might never be, as some players are just like this, but he might never be elite as a shortstop. Like Dansby Swanson, we saw for three games in this series, I don't know. He's having a pretty miserable year at the plate, especially considering how much money he makes. But he is an elite defensive shortstop, yes, as we saw in this game.
Yes.
But I mean, can is that enough to carry you if you're just getting one and not both of those aspects of your game? I'm not necessarily sure. There's a Tina in London text who texted in to say, how enjoyable is it to watch Bowden pitch? So nice and easy. She also says, Bo will be the anchor that brings the team down if he stays in 2025. I do think there has been a lot, to your point, like the sentiment, I think, has largely turned on Bo. I think there is a chance for it to turn back the other way.
For sure.
Like, I do think that is the case. Because if he comes back to Mark's point and rakes for the last month of the season, I think people will view him differently. I don't know how likely that is based on what we've seen all year, essentially.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same as it was with Vladdy. People were really, really down on Vladdy as recently as May of this year. And then now he is hitting everything, and very much we have changed the conversation. We have changed the whole discourse around Guerrero. It's always possible that something similar will happen with Bo. And if it does, then it may even change the sentiment of the player himself. And it may change what insiders are hearing about the potential of making a deal. Everything is so wavy when it comes to baseball, and this is no different, right? Show we see guys go through slumps, we see guys go through extended hot stretches, and that in itself is going to change how they talk to us, certainly, and
sure,
with the conversations in the clubhouse and conversations with the front office. So I don't know, I wouldn't take this report too much at face value here. Obviously you trust that there's some truth behind it,
because
Bob Nightingale is an extremely respected reporter. Things change.
Sure, yeah. I mean, things can really turn on a dime in sports. Like, that's not a baseball thing. That's like in literally every sport in the world, right? So I'm with you. I just think that there's probably at least a grain of truth here somewhere.
Absolutely.
Right? Whether that's coming from the Jays front office and they leak the report, or they're the source of this information, or someone in Bo's camp sourced this information. I will say, I've never really felt that Bo has gone out of his way, at least, to like completely blow away rumors that he like doesn't want to be here. You know what I mean? And,
yes.
And again, a part of it is that Bo is just a guy who I think from a personal perspective, he's just someone who, you know, he doesn't talk a lot. He's a little taciturn. I'm not saying
very
that in a negative
so.
Way. He just he doesn't mince words. So he might just view it as completely useless. Like some people are just like that, right? Like, I don't think there's a real issue with that. So I don't think that by itself says that he doesn't want to be here. But I mean, at the same time, I think it's just funny because it stands in such stark contrast to Vladdy, who, I mean, I know he kind of sort of walked it back this year when he's saying, oh, I'd be open to playing for anyone. Mm-hmm. But like, he's gone on record multiple times talking to like kids in classrooms saying, I never want to play for the Yankees. I only ever want to play for the Blue Jays.
You kind of have to love that.
Yeah. Like, that kind of is one of the lovable aspects about Vladdy, rather, whereas Bo has, I don't know, he's just not really like the warm and cuddly type of guy. And that's fine. Like, that's not a huge issue.
Yeah.
Before we go, I wanted to get to a couple more texts. There was one here from Meg in New Brunswick. Do we think Votto will make his Jays debut for the Red Series?
Ooh.
It seems like an obvious yes, but John Schneider may not agree. I honestly don't know, because I kind of would have felt that if we were going to see Joey Votto get called up, unless it's happened like since we've been talking in the last like hour or so,
right,
unless I've missed it, I don't think he's been called up. So if that's the case, then I suppose it's possible that it happens tomorrow, but he hasn't exactly been hitting the cover off the baseball in the minors. Like, he got off to a pretty hot start, and then in the sense of like, he played in like two games and then not much after that in terms of like, you know, really tangible, right, solid results. So I'd probably lean that it doesn't happen. If it does happen, it's probably a little bit of a PR move in a season that doesn't really mean a lot, but yeah, I don't know. Do you care? Does that move the needle for you at all?
Well, I was going to ask you the same thing. Would you want a feel-good Joey Votto call-up story against the Reds? As, you know, as show, the person, would you want that to happen?
I've said to you yes before. When we talked about this on Jays Talk Plus, I've said yes just because I don't think it'll really harm the development of any of these young guys. Like, if he comes up and plays like a little bit and Horwitz sits a little bit, or the corresponding moves are that sum of Wagner, Horwitz, Clement, like in terms of cascading effects on the infield, means that they play like one game less a week, then like, all right, I don't know. Does it really matter? Probably not. And Joey Votto's going to retire anyways, more than likely the end of the season. So it ultimately probably doesn't really matter as a factor for 2025.
Yeah, you know what? One thing that I will say that would be pretty sad if Joey Votto came up would be that you would probably have to send someone like Stuart Baroa down.
Yeah, and, probably.
And I'll tell you this. That boy's having so much fun. He's having so much fun just being around and right and coming into pinch run and whatever it is. He's really making the most of this very limited big league experience that he's getting here. So you would kind of trade one feel good story for another a little bit. And it would be pretty epic, don't get me wrong. But there's probably more deserving guys at that Triple A lineup as well, right, Sho? So kind of a tough one. I don't begrudge anyone for their opinion either way. But the way I see it is you would probably go with someone who's a little more deserving, if that makes sense.
You're probably right. If it's a PR move, does it really benefit the team? And I think the answer to that question is not a solid yes. And if that's the case, then maybe it's not worth it. A couple more texts before we go. Arthur in Toronto, would Bo benefit from a haircut the way Vladdy did? I'll say this. It can't get worse. It can't get worse if he tries the reverse Samson right there. I see a text from, let's see, Kevin in Toronto. I don't think Bo's value will change because of this season, mainly because of his age. I think there is a chance he recaptures some value if he comes back and hits well. But again, he would need to do it like pretty consistently for effectively the rest of the year. And this is from Henry in Mississauga. You guys keep saying the Jays are going to spend big in the offseason. You're wrong for one reason. Mark Shapiro running the Jays like a small market team. Rogers needs to fire him and his group of unqualified people Bo wants out of Toronto. I disagree with this from Henry.
Right.
Because, again, it's not about do the Jays spend money. It's about do they spend money wisely, well, Jules, right?
They spent tons of money.
They've spent ungodly amounts of money, but it has not turned out well. I think they will spend money. Yeah. It's just will they spend money in the right way?
Yeah, it's about taking a risk, I think, Sho, more than anything, and maybe not try, again, the veteran route, if you will, the Justin Turners of the world. Yeah. It is about spending money wisely here.
It is always wise to do Jays Talk with Julia Kreutz.
Oh,
Jules, it's nice to
see
you. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. Appreciate you all being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bridgewater and Liverpool, Nova Scotia. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia, for Ben, Chris, Tom, Nick, I'm Sho. That does it for us. We're out of here. Blair has solo editions of Jays Talk all week. Barker is off on a very well-deserved break. I'm back on Saturday and Sunday as usual. Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you later.